PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. And it has been a rain-soaked day today. Again, looking at some more wraparound rains coming this way. So we won't be out of the woods yet from the rain, but the temperatures will be turning cooler as it gets later through the evening and tomorrow and I guess maybe even Friday. So look out for some cool mornings as you go to school, kiddos.
Yeah, today is the first day of autumn and nothing like having cooler temperatures.
And it's going to get, I think they even said maybe even into the 30s, I think. That's Friday morning, maybe, when it's going to hit those kind of conditions. But as always, we're going to talk sports tonight, and we got a good guest coming on at about 6:15 or so, Coach Ken Jones. We're finally going to have to get him on here to discuss some of the things that are going on with Ken after his retirement from teaching and also coaching. So we'll have a discussion with him, and we'll go first with our normal COVID updates.
At this point, let's go back in time. So we'll go back a week ago. 1 week ago here in Powell County, there were 220 active cases. We go 5 days ago, 207 cases. So the number slowly trickling down. We go to 4 days ago, 160 cases. 2 days ago, starting on Monday, there were 37 new cases. 83 were released. So, you know, that was good to see that many numbers come off. An interesting statistic from the health department: of the 162 cases confirmed last week, 15 were fully vaccinated and 147 were not vaccinated. And then we go to yesterday, 34 new cases, 25 were released to bring us to an active count of 169. And today, 14 new cases, 24 were released, bringing our active count to 159 active cases. We've had a total case count of 2,238. Unfortunately, 18 deaths associated with this so far, but still our numbers trending down, you know, slowly but surely, but still 159, still way too many people to be active.
Yeah, and the 18 number of deaths may go up here in the next few days or so. But you're talking about 14 new cases today. That's a low number as far as where we have been. 14 cases is still way too many. So, again, more cases are coming off than are going on. That's a good thing. That'll bring that number down. But we're still at a higher number than really we were all winter last year. So we're still at a higher rate than we've ever been. It's just a little bit lower than what it was last week. So hopefully... we're seeing a trend as far as the whole state as seeing a little bit of a decline or a plateau. I know today's count for the state was over 4,000 new cases.
4,418.
So we're talking that number is actually going against the plateau because that number is higher than what it has been for the last few days for the state count. So that number being a little bit higher at 4,400 today, again, it's a Thursday or Wednesday, excuse me. Normally you'll see higher numbers on Wednesday, Thursday, and then you'll see a little bit of a lag because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you usually see a big number on Monday, which is why you saw that 80-some come off and the, 30-some go on Monday. Those were a cumulative total of, I think, Saturday, Sunday, and right. Monday. But again, it's a good thing to see those cases come off. But again, we got to get the numbers on down. I was listening to WLW in Cincinnati today, and they did a study in seven school districts, over 60,000 students were involved in the study they did. It was about mask wearing, And they came out to conclude that masks are working. They tested, I guess, surveyed schools that were masked, have the mandate, and schools that did not. And 78% of the students at the, was 78% higher as students were not have did not have the mask mandate than did. So it was significant, and the quarantine rate was much higher in those other schools that weren't masked. So I know that's not a huge study, but 60,000 is a pretty good number to show those kinds of infections based on mask wearing versus not. So if you're one of those people that think the masks aren't working, I guess check with the people in Ohio who did the study up there, and it come out pretty significant difference between mask-mandated schools and the ones that were not.
Yeah, and in general, I think a population size, in a sense, of 1,000 people to 2,000, that's a normal study.
Yeah.
So to have 60,000, I mean, that's
pretty significant.
That's good data. And really, out of the new cases here in Kentucky, 1,273 new cases, 18 and under. So again, that 18 and under population is still starting to get really affected by this.
Yeah, and we're seeing that as being consistent. This whole Delta variant, you're seeing at least a fourth of the population of the numbers who are testing positive are 18 and under. And unfortunately, we lost another student personnel in Jenkins, Kentucky, I think yesterday. So I don't know where that total is. Again, we're sending our thoughts and prayers for folks at Lee County who lost a third person at the same school, elementary school,
yeah,
as we lost the other two. So this was the third person, the guidance counselor, 35-year teacher there at Lee County. And the teacher at Jenkins was only 28 years old, or 29, just a few years into teaching. So wasn't an older person, 29 years old. That's way too young. And folks out there who are saying, well, it's only people that are older. And we're seeing more and more now with the Delta variant that the numbers are hitting those a lot less than 70. Because now if you look at all over the nation, even the county, most of the folks that are 65 and older have been vaccinated.
Right.
I mean, you're probably going to see some people who haven't been, but it's very few people, percentage-wise, that have really not been vaccinated over 65. They're taking heed to the advice and getting those vaccines, as should the people that are pushing the issue and not being vaccinated. Again, they are, you run the risk of spreading, as do people who are vaccinated. And again, we still get, I'd like to maybe ask Stacy this question, still get conflicting reports on quarantines. If you, I heard this week that if a child tests positive and the parents have been vaccinated, the parents should still quarantine based on the fact they're a really close contact with their child. Therefore, they should quarantine because they could still carry and pass it to others. I'm assuming that's what that would refer to, but I don't think that's the policy that we're using in our school districts. Is that correct?
Listen, I get more and more confused, it seems, every time you turn around, because I, with your assessment there, what you're kind of using, to me it gets confusing who does, who doesn't, how long that they're actually quarantined, when they can come back. I can't sort the facts out, to be honest with you.
That I think has changed in the last few weeks. We talked to
right.
Mr. Brewer about that. Of course, he told us to talk to Meredith a little bit later on, but I think that they had referred to, they had changed some of the ways that they were doing the quarantines now and be able to come back to school and some other things a little bit less than what it was originally. But still, and that brings into question, how long is enough? How long is not enough? Cause you still see cases where it's 10 to 12, 14 days. Then they start showing signs or symptoms and you're still seeing a few of those. I don't think there are a lot of those. I say most people are seeing signs and symptoms within 5 days. But again, I think some people just don't show those signs or symptoms until a little bit later. But again, this COVID thing is definitely doesn't matter who you are and where you are. It just doesn't really pick. And then some people get really sick or even die. And then other people's, it's like having a cold. It's just kind of weird how it affects some a lot more severe than it does others.
Yeah. And we can do All we can do is what we can do, meaning socially distance, wear your mask, wash your hands, sanitize, you know, all of those normal things. And that's not to say you can't eat healthy or take vitamins or supplements, something along that line. But ultimately, it goes back, if you're doing your part with what you're capable of doing, that's not to say that you won't get it, but at least you're doing what you can. It's no different than the flu season. Again, washing your hands, you know, not touching things, you know, after other people in a sense, and being smart about it, and hopefully we curtail this.
Yeah, I was never a big person to take the flu vaccine. However, this year they're really predicting a large amount of flu cases because people aren't wearing the mask as they did last year, and the hospitals are overfilled and understaffed. We'll say both terms since they're both correct. There are beds available, but there's not enough staffing for those beds. So when you throw all that into the picture, if you do get sick with the flu and you need to be hospitalized, there may not be a place for you. So that's where it really is imperative that I think folks get vaccinated. It's not just because let's protect each other from COVID, but if we do get sick from something else, let's have some place to go. You know, and right now we're filled up with COVID patients, and our hospitals are understaffed because of the workload they have had to endure for the last, 2 years. And some are either even choosing not to get vaccinated and leaving the job, or just leaving the job because of the stress that's involved. So I tell you what, big thanks to all those folks that have put the time in, because, man, that job is a stress job, and we're seeing a lot of folks now with a lot of PTSD that work in those COVID units.
Yeah, and you would have to, in a sense, no matter if you're working with the very young to the very old, yeah. At that point, seeing the life that people are having to live based on breathing apparatus, that kind of thing, it'd be very difficult to come in and day out and it not affect you mentally. And we've talked briefly, you know, at times about mental health. It's so important that if people need mental health counseling, et cetera, there are options that are out there that are available, and there's no shame in seeking mental health professionals to clear your headspace, whatever it might be, in order to make life better for you. That's why they're there. They're trained to help, and there's too much of a stigma associated with that type of direction, in a sense. But hopefully those, you know, walls are being broken down, in a sense, and people, if they have those mental health issues, they're seeking counseling.
And we know in the past, people that do suffer some of those mental health issues, it's not healed or cured overnight. It takes time. So you're going to need help. You're going to need support. But, you know, I'm one that if you look at the people that have died at the hospitals or are even in the hospital, there's no contact with loved ones. Same way with nursing homes. That, to me, is probably the saddest thing about the COVID virus is the isolation and the loneliness people will have to endure. If they get sick enough to be in the hospital, you have nobody to be able to come and visit except for those medical professionals that come in there every day, and really they get really close to their patients as well because they're their people that are making the communications. Right. You know, if it weren't for FaceTime, man, I tell you what, those people would be in a lot of issues. So again, send our thoughts and prayers for all those in the units and thoughts and prayers for all those health workers out there. We'll take a break and come back with Coach Ken Jones here on PCSN Live.
ProTex Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing cost. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you. because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guarantee Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live, and we are now going to be joined by retired head volleyball and girls basketball coach, Coach Ken Jones. How you doing, Ken?
Doing all right, Dave. You and Ken doing okay?
Oh, we're
doing well, thank
fair
you.
Fair to Midland, I guess.
Well, good. Tolerable.
There you go. Now, you're 90 days since retirement, have been up about a couple of weeks now at least, right?
Yeah, it was up on September 1st.
Go ahead.
I'm now allowed on school grounds and everything. I get to come to games and be a spectator and a fan.
Have you applied to substitute teach yet?
Not yet. I'm thinking very strongly about it, though.
Well, I tell you what, there's days every day where you get phone calls to come in and work, and you can kind of pick your own days if you want to come in or not.
Yeah, that's one of the good things. Pick your own schedule, right?
That's exactly right. Now, how are you liking retirement?
It's pretty good. Miss some things. Gets boring sometimes, but trying to stay busy.
Is it better than you?
Camper.
Did you get your camper?
Yeah, got a little pop up. Still got the bass boat, but the weather won't let you go enough.
Yeah, I understand. I remember you telling me a long time ago that when you retire, get a place on the lake so you can go fishing all the time, right?
That's what I wanted to do, but it's not worked out yet.
Well, at least you got a camper and a boat.
Yeah, I got them both. They're sitting here.
All right. I'm going to let Ken ask you some tougher questions over here.
Well, I don't know about that in a sense, but since you kind of mentioned in a sense, so obviously you've been to several games at this point. So what's been the difference being a fan in the stands as opposed to being a coach and scouting someone even?
Well, I've seen every game Powell's played, either online or in person. Every one in person that I get to, I think I've missed one. But I've seen them all. And I've watched Wolf County, Breathitt County, Knott County, and Estill online, of course. Difference is, see some things and you can't do anything about them.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Is it hard for you to sit there and knowing the mistakes are being made and not say anything?
Yes, it is. Very hard. I sit there and coach both teams.
Well, I mean, I understand that.
So, that's just mental, though, not verbal.
Yeah, I know. I remember when Mr. Combs retired from coaching and teaching, he told me, he said, I don't think I can go back in the gym at least shortly after. So, I know that was tough the first time you came in.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I miss the girls, miss the players, miss all of it. It is what it is, right?
Yes, sir.
Even as far as your retirement, let's go back in time just a little bit. So what was it, or any deciding factors in a sense, or was this kind of always your plan? Let's say Hannah, you know, once Hannah graduated, like what was your, did you have a time frame for retirement, and what kind of led you into that decision?
Well, no, not really. The plan was I would continue coaching, but KTRS said, no, you can't do that. So I missed that, but I think they passed a new rule on January, 1st of 2020 it took effect, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, and when I retired, that wasn't the case, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a new thing they came up with, and I wasn't aware of it, but it's okay.
Now you,
and,
go ahead.
You know, the frustration with the COVID and all this stuff and the no fans and the vouchers and the canceled games and canceled practice. And it just got to be a little much.
And if you'd have been with it this year, it's been even worse as far as the, I guess, COVID cancellations and no practices. It's been even worse this year than it was last year.
Well, I kind of thought that was coming, so
yeah.
I guess it was time.
So now at this point, as far as the new rule that they kind of passed, so does that mean that you will not have an opportunity to get back into coaching? Like at that point, once you retired at this point, like you're out regardless. Is that correct?
Well, my understanding is after 1 year being completely out, they'll look at that as a bona fide retirement. And I could go to another district and coach, but not here in Powell County until the year is up.
So you, it has to be 1 year?
That's what I was told.
Because I heard of a rumor that a coach in basketball, an assistant was hired to be the fulfill the role, and the retired head coach was going to come back as soon as the 90 days were up, and the assistant was going to step down, and he was going to retake the...
Yeah, that's why, that's, I know the situation you're talking about. I've been reading that, too. I don't know whether that's... you know, whether that's the plan or not, but I don't think they can get by with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was just something I knew. I had heard that, but maybe they didn't understand the one-year rule or didn't get an exemption for that. So I guess so you can't come back to the same district at a later date, or after a year you may be able to?
Well, after a year, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what they do in Frankfort.
Could you apply at another district this year?
Yeah, okay. I could do that right now. I was offered a couple of jobs this year, but I didn't take either one of them. So,
yeah, I thought you could go to another district after you retired. You just can't do a continuing contract with the same district.
Right. Yeah, they say that's not a bona fide retirement if you agree to come back.
Doesn't make sense because it's an extracurricular position, but I'm not the one that's going through that.
You know, I really can't see the difference between coming back and coaching and coming back and substitute teaching, but
that's a good point.
Evidently they do. So
that's a good point.
You know, the coaching, you're not going to really get wealthy at either one of them, but
no,
you enjoy it. So,
is there any interest on your part to get back into it potentially?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as possible, I'd like to.
And obviously you've coached long enough. I mean, it's just, it's a part of who you are, you know, and it would be very difficult, obviously, and under your circumstance, and all of a sudden to kind of just walk away and not still have that attraction, that draw to want to get back into it.
Yeah, it's very hard, but, you know, you do what you got to do, so.
Well, I'll give you a little of the opposite feedback here. I know I have pretty much now left every sport but one, and... I miss the kids and I miss the people. I don't miss the daily grind of going to having to be somewhere at a certain time and the couple 3 hours of practice that you have to do and planning for those. I don't miss that as much as you probably do, because that was probably one of your most fun things to do is plan for the practices, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the practice was fun. The games were just, I don't know, the icing on the cake. But it was all fun.
What's been the most difficult thing for you as far as not being able to coach and not being out there on a daily basis?
Well, trying to fill the day with something, doing something, you know, on days like today when it's almost winter out there, it feels like you can't get outside and work, and you can't fish, you can't camp. So it's just hard not having, you know, not even allowed to have any contact with anybody there for that 90 days. That was tough.
Now, I have a question. The 90 days when I went out, you could still go to the school. You just couldn't volunteer and give instruction. Has that changed now?
Yeah, you can't do anything, not even allowed on school grounds, on school property anywhere.
Okay. Because I know we used to, that used to be the rumor when I went out, when they told me, they said, no, that's actually a myth. You could actually go in and volunteer, but you can't give specific instructions to students.
Right. So. Well, that's changed. You're not even allowed around anymore, was my understanding.
Gotcha.
Correct, and that's what I've heard.
I don't know what their thinking is. I'm not going to run inside the building, start teaching and coaching, and kids not even there. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So again, I guess your official date of retirement was June 1 or June 15th, probably, right? So I guess it was September 1 you were able to. That 90 days was up.
That 90 days was up September 1. You're right. Of course, I haven't been back out there except to watch the volleyball teams.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to pick and choose here. I know they changed offenses a little bit and changed sets that they're running.
We talked about going to the 5-1 last year for this year's group. It suits the personnel she has now better than the 4-2.
So you think it's a good change that she's made?
Yeah, I do. So, I enjoyed watching it.
Does Jasmine ever call and pick your brain for any advice?
Well, no, not exactly. I just give her a little encouragement along the way.
And that works, too. Sometimes it's very difficult to distance yourself. The best way sometimes just break clean and get away and not let the, not saying you, but sometimes just to let, you have to get away from the other coach just because you don't want anybody saying that, they're still involved in the coaching aspect, I guess.
Yeah, right. Well, I'd like to give advice, but I don't.
And knowing you, that's probably difficult, but if they're not going to ask, you're not going to give, right?
Well, I'll help out any way I can, but no, not any unsolicited advice or suggestions.
As far as volleyball, obviously going back, you became the original head coach of the program. What were the early steps or whatever to even establish the program, and what drew you into volleyball? What was it that said, that volleyball came along and was just like, I think I would love to coach that?
Well, I was interested in it even in my days over at EKU, and went out and watched a game or two. Carolyn Skidmore was the coach for the first year, and went out and saw him, and I said, well, there's some talent there. I'd like to coach that bunch. And then Carolyn decided after 1 year she was going to give it up, and I took it, and it worked out pretty well.
I didn't realize you started coaching volleyball the second year we had it.
Yeah, she had them 1 year. Back when I started, we had 8 regions statewide, and we had 32 districts, and that was it.
What year would that have been?
In the district, 2000.
Okay.
2001.
So you started volleyball in 2000, 2001. When did you take over the basketball program?
2000.
About the same time then for both programs?
1 year. 1 year difference. Had basketball 1 year before I took the volleyball.
So this you had 20, I guess, 20 years then as the basketball coach and 19 as volleyball?
Right, uh-huh.
I didn't realize the volleyball was that long. I knew the basketball was about 20. I just didn't realize you've been there in volleyball that long.
Yeah, it was 20 and 19. We had, some ups and downs on getting the program started and getting it on a firm foundation, but it got lined out pretty well.
It's almost hard to believe.
First district was an 18 district. We had to go to Pike County Central and play in the region.
That's a haul.
Yeah, and that was in the old side-out days. You didn't score unless you served.
Correct.
Matches sometimes went all day and all night.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long did those matches? That didn't last too long, did it?
No. You mean how long did the matches last?
No. How long did it last? With it was just you had to side out. How long did that stay?
Somewhere around 5 years, I would imagine.
Well, so there were some really long matches those first 5 years of coaching.
I know one match we played up at Breathitt County, the R1, the guy up on the platform had a broken arm, and I asked him if he was sure he could handle it. he said, yeah, it won't take long. And the varsity match alone went over 2 hours. So
you're playing longer than a baseball, almost as long as a baseball game goes, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was two pretty evenly matched teams. It was tough.
I got you. I tell you what, we're going to step away for a break. Come back with got some more questions for you if you want to stay on.
That sounds good.
I'll be right back here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. That wasn't such a long break there, Ken. But again, we're back.
No, you took a short one that time.
Well, there's a lot of different levels of commercials they have spotted in here. The next one, I think, is a little bit longer, but I think they've shortened them all for some reason. It just seems shorter, but it's always good with the guests that they're shorter commercials.
Yeah, well, what's your, I guess, 30 seconds? Is that your shortest break?
Well, they have different spots. I think the last one was about a minute and a half, maybe, but that's really, we've had it before, last almost 3 minutes. So it's probably better with a guest.
The infomercial.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's about six different loops. Most of the commercials run about 30 seconds on average, though.
Yeah.
Let's stick with volleyball here for just a second. During that 19-year span, what are some of your favorite memories and or even specific moments that occurred for your team?
Well, some of the favorite memories, we won the district 15 times in that. So that was pretty good run. One stretch, we won it 9 times in a row. Got to the regional finals. Never made it state. That's my one regret. But we got close. Should have made it a few times, but we didn't. I don't know, shoot, there's a lot of memories that come along. One of the funniest was when we had to win district twice in the same year.
Explain that one for us.
I would if I could. The district manager messed up. He was going on the KHSAA plan for the following year or the preceding year and not the one, and he wouldn't listen. So we went over and we won it. And then got a call from him the next day. We were going to have to come back and replay. So we went back, took all the individual trophies and team trophies and all that back, gave it back to him, won it again. He had to present them again. So
that's
kind of odd.
I've really never heard that done. Usually if you mess up like that, you just continue on with everyone, even if it's wrong.
No, they told him we'd have to replay it the way he did it. That was when we had a 3-team district.
I got you.
That's when the confusion came in.
Yep.
On his part.
Yeah, they've even changed the way they do that now with the 3-team. Now it's the 2-3 seed play each other. The one's an automatic bid to the championship.
Yeah, but back in the day, it wasn't that way.
Correct.
You got two chances if you lost that first one.
So. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, now they simplified it a little bit. If you lose that first one, you're out, and you just the one seed automatically advances.
Well, I'm kind of old school. You know, I believe in single elimination.
Yeah. Agreed.
As far as the way that volleyball has changed, obviously besides, you know, only being able to score on offense, now it goes back and forth, offense and defense. Any other changes over the years that kind of happened that – either surprised you or you welcomed and embraced?
Well, we had the one rule that I really like, and they're going by it this year, is the changing of benches between the first set, second set, and the third set. I mean, to me, that was the craziest thing that you had to do. You had to pack up all your equipment, move down to the other bench, and then move right back. I don't know. I guess they're thinking was one side of the gym was higher than the other, and it gave you an advantage or something.
I think after COVID is gone, well, I don't know if it'll ever be gone, but once we get off all the COVID protocols, I think that's a thing that will stick. I don't think they're going to wind up changing size like they used to.
Well, I hope not. They don't do that on the college level. You know, the high schools usually run a few years behind the college level.
Yeah, they're fine. Like I said, sometimes there's good rule changes that happen because of this, but this is one that I'm glad. When did the netball, when did that come from a serve where the other team got a point of hit the net and went over? It was a fault or a replay?
Oh, a red?
Yeah.
Well, that's been in about as long as I can remember.
Okay.
And it's funny. It's one of the most frustrating things for the team on defense because, you know, it just drops in.
There's no way to play it.
On their face.
There's already no way to play it. You're never expecting that shot.
Right.
And I know we played in college. That was always the rule, I guess, when that's been a long time ago. But if it hit the net, it went the other side.
It was the other side or a dead ball and redo or something. I don't remember exactly when they changed it, but it's been quite a while.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to pick a sport between the two, volleyball and basketball. Which do you and...
No, I'm not going to go there.
That's a good try.
You know I love both of them.
Correct, yes. Well, I didn't know if you necessarily maybe going to kind of lean in one direction or the other. Again, we enjoy them, obviously, ourselves. I mean, you know, watching your teams, you know, when you look at the volleyball teams, they are always well prepared. The same thing with girls basketball. You scout better than anybody in the state, you know, to get your teams prepared for that. And I just thought, well, maybe if there's one way that you lean as opposed to the other.
No, well, you know, basketball's a little bit more fast-paced, I guess. A bit more exciting all the way through. But the volleyball, if it's match point or set point and you're up to serve, there's, you know, there's nothing more intense or more exciting than that if you know what's going on.
I think when volleyball's played properly and you follow the rules, not like you're playing, just playing for fun, It's an awesome sport, and I had to play it in college in intramurals, and to really appreciate volleyball for what it is. And it's, I tell you what, it's really fun to watch. And I think in Powell County, you kind of built, and I would say this, a kind of a dynasty here at Powell County, where Powell County was always one of the teams that you were not wanting to play. Again, 15 district titles is impressive. That's out of 19 years, only runners up four times. Did you ever not play in the region?
No, we made it every year in volleyball.
I would venture to bet that does not happen again in any sport here in Powell County.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that, I guess. I mean, we can hang around for 20 years and see what happens.
I mean, baseball is one of those that I think is pretty much every year you make it out, but that's been a one forever. But now volleyball is kind of a growing sport, and it's kind of taken over, and it's done really well again. And like I said, 15 years of district champs, that's a tall shoes to fill, Ken.
Well, I hope they do it and do even better and get a regional title here.
Now, how many wins did you have over your career in volleyball?
I counted up last year 389.
That stings a bit more, don't it?
I know I was trying to go for 400, and COVID got us. You know, last year we only got to play 16 games instead of, you're allowed 35.
Right. So. Same as softball, I think, with volleyball.
I'm thinking if we'd had the other 19 games, we might have got 11 more wins.
So that would have been nice at 400. Now and just to let people know, I think you had already resigned from the volleyball position prior to your retirement. Is that correct?
Yes. Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew I'd have to sit out the 90 days, right. And it wouldn't have been fair to anybody to sit out till whatever September 1 and then try to come back.
I want to let people know that was kind of a job that kind of really wasn't taken away. I mean, the basketball one, that was the one that was kind of unexpected in hindsight,
right,
that would have to step away from. Now, again, kind of go over your career there in basketball since 2000.
Well, I don't know. What do you need to know?
Well, how many wins, conversely, how many wins did you get in basketball? I know the limit's a little bit lower, so.
I'm thinking it's 346, Dave. I'm not sure on that. So I'll have to go back and check.
That's pretty close, though. I mean, as far as when you compare it to the number of games that you can play, 346 is probably a little bit more spectacular than the volleyball win total.
Well, yeah, you remember used to our limit was 24.
Correct.
And now they've upped it to 30, but you have to count the invitational tournaments, each game, and all that. So it's much simpler now to keep track of.
Did you see yourself when you took these positions coaching for 20 years, roughly?
Well, I don't know. I kept telling everybody one more year. I told them that, I think, 20 times. But I told everybody I would stay in as long as it was fun. And it stayed fun right up to nowadays.
Yeah, and you weren't allowed to choose how you left. It was just kind of, if you wanted to retire, you had to leave all of it.
Right. Yeah, it's all or none now.
Yeah, that's a sad way to leave. Was hoping we'd get a good send-off for you this year and have some special evenings, because if you retire this year, I mean, you could keep on coaching, but it's kind of a shame that you weren't able to be recognized on the floor while you were still coaching for some of those accolades. I know you did make the Basketball Hall of Fame several years ago, the coaching part was more important to you than making any Hall of Fame, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would like to. This year's team should be pretty good, and they're a bunch of good, hardworking girls, and they would have been fun to have. But, you know, KTRS said no.
As far as basketball, what are some of your favorite moments and memories of coaching basketball?
Well, we reached the regional finals in 2014, and we couldn't buy a darn free throw.
We would have won by 20.
Home to state. Sir?
We would have won by 20.
Yeah, at least. I don't remember what we missed, 17 or 21, somewhere in that neighborhood, just on the free throws.
Yeah, it seemed like we shot about 30 in the first half.
Yeah, we had Perry where we wanted them, but we just couldn't cash in at the line, and that cost us. So that's one of the not successful memories, but I enjoyed all of it, you know, even the bus rides.
Yeah, that's kind of got old, but I tell you what, I can listen to stories. I guess I got to listen to stories for about 12 years as your assistant, but I do know in 2016, I think both of us agreed, okay, it's time, if we go ahead and retire, we both retire together, and then you slip-chucked me, you stayed, and I left.
Well...
He had one more year to go.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave.
One more.
Yeah, I was out of there, and I'm thinking, I'm out. But, you know, in 16, I look back, and I'm like, I don't regret a bit of when I left. But, you know, I'm like you, though. I miss the kids, miss the games. I miss the, when they're playing district game, I really miss those. Been on the sideline, on the bench.
Oh, yeah, you miss the atmosphere and all that.
Yeah, it's just.
If you remember, we were talking about the old days, you remember when I drove the bus to the boys' basketball game?
Yes, yes, I do.
And was assistant coach, and you were on there, and you would hold your breath. when we came down Slade Hill and that little bridge.
Yeah, I was.
You didn't breathe. You didn't breathe from Slade to Stanton.
Yeah, Mister, I'm sure Monroe couldn't have helped me keep me calm, because he always sat in that front seat, leaning over, because they always got bus sick, so he wasn't any benefit to me at all.
Good times.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
As far as the number of players, any idea the number of players who actually received scholarships to continue on playing, whether it was volleyball or basketball?
Well, no, not a total number. You know, Keeley had one, and... she didn't play her full career in basketball. She went on to Western instead of Northern. Destiny at TCU Destiny Peck.
And she played all four, I think, her entire time there.
Yeah. And, you know, we can name quite a few.
The Candy Walls, I know.
Brandy Clem, yeah. Candy Walls over at Berea. Brandy Clem, volleyball over at Berea. Ashley Howard. Several of the volleyball players. We've got Sabrina Dawson playing at Alice Lloyd right now.
When you have players like that, that, you know, have that ability and someone else recognizes it, that, how is it for you when you're sitting back and realizing you're seeing them as an eighth grader or freshman and for them to develop and finally somebody else at that collegiate level to kind of recognize their talent?
Oh, that makes you very proud. That makes a lot of it worthwhile.
And sometimes
a lot of times you have a talented player and you reach out to these college coaches and, and some of them don't want to give you the time of day. But then on the other hand, if you keep on working and get a kid a scholarship, a free ride, that's something. Of course, Dave remembers Sarah Tipton well. Went to Cumberland for a little, played a lot as a freshman.
Yeah, would have been successful had she wanted to stay and about anything she wanted to do.
Yeah, she could. We got her a 5-year deal over at Cumberland with Melissa Irvin as the coach. And thought we were in good shape there. And then there's Brandy Locker, who got a college scholarship in basketball.
And wound up playing rugby, right, at the college, level? And loved it.
Well, rough and tumble game, and you know Brandy.
Yeah. I think she really excelled at that sport too. A lot of times these kids go, and it's just like Candy. Candy was a really good player in high school, but man, she went to a new level when she got to Berea.
Yeah, she did. She set 7 records over there. I don't know how many of them have been broken since she went, but she sure told me some funny stories about her college experience over there with Bunky.
Yeah, I mean it's just, I know she was really a defensive standout and everything else here, really good athletically, but man, when she went over there, she became a threat to score anytime she had the basketball.
Yeah, she did. Even developed in with 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I didn't see that one coming, you know.
Yeah, I knew she would. She would do well. She was tough as a pine knot.
Yeah, if you got good work ethic, you can make it at the college level. But you got to be ready to go work.
Yeah. Except on defense, Bunky didn't believe in defense.
Yeah, they like to shoot. Whatever, 15 seconds or something. They want a shot up.
I don't know. They tried. They nationwide number one in 3-point shooting. Number of shots taken.
Yeah.
I don't know about percentage.
Didn't matter, did it? If you make another, you're probably going to win.
Right.
Yeah. Have you got some? I guess last closing remarks. Any advice to folks who may want to get into coaching and some things that may help as far as a young coach getting started?
No, I would just encourage anybody that has an interest in it to get in it, get your feet wet, try it. You'll enjoy it. A lot of rewards, a lot of work. But don't go in just thinking you're going to show up at game time and be there and it's going to happen for you.
I will say this. I worked with you, I guess, about 12 years, I believe, and as far as the people I've ever worked for, you were the hardest working as far as planning, scouting, getting the scouting report done, film watching, and I'll have to hand you this. You're the most prepared coach I've ever worked with, and for that, I don't think anybody ever would credit you with that, except unless you put people like us, that your assistants that knew exactly what you did every day and every time you went out there and to prepare the hours you spent, and it's unknown how many hours you have spent doing that, but I would like to mention that, it's you know, I think you've had a wonderful career and probably one of the hardest working coaches I've ever seen.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. Thanks a lot.
You're well deserved, and I wish the career would have ended differently, but hopefully maybe you'll find your position somewhere else and you could go out on your own terms at some point. But this retirement thing kind of really, I'm not saying the coaches won't do a good job taking over, but you'll be missed on the sidelines regardless.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll take another break here
all
on PCSN.
Later, Ken.
See you.
Thank you.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to PCS, Sports Talk, but PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And big thank you once again to Ken Jones, again, the man, the myth, the legend, if you will, again, over 19 years as volleyball, over 20 years for basketball here at Powell County. And really, I think he defined volleyball in Powell County with 15 district titles. I didn't realize he had that many out of the 19 years that he coached. And then in girls basketball, and if you look back historically, I don't think people understand the record Ken has amassed. And again, we didn't get any regional titles. We were there for that one regional runner-up. So close in several games and semifinals that I can remember in region. But the number of regional tournament that we were involved in, that didn't happen prior to Ken taking the position. So when you get down to brass tacks 10 years from now, you'll look back and say he was probably the most successful girls basketball coach in Powell County history. And I don't know if anybody's going to surpass the volleyball marks. But and sometimes it's longevity. You don't see a lot of folks stick around for that many years. Looking back, I guess – you know, me, for an example, I've been with softball for 20 years total. Basketball as an assistant for a long time. I was never that ever that long as a head coach. You know, golf, I did it for about 20 years off and on with boys and girls. But, man, consistently run that long, it is a grind. And I don't really look for people to stay 20 years in coaching anymore. It's just hard to do. And what Ken gave up, again, a lot of family time and a lot of commitments and really work. When he go home, he wasn't going home. He's going home, watch more tape. You know, the game was over, but he's going to go see what we did wrong, replan for tomorrow.
Yeah, in so many ways, he helped us out as broadcasters. Yep. He would give us stat sheets, information about the other team, even sending up players, whether it's basketball or volleyball, for interviews after the games. I mean, we don't get that from other coaches, other players, but he started that and continued on, and the players continued to come up. Stand-up guy, again, it's odd not seeing him in volleyball down on those sidelines with his towel.
Yeah.
You know, not down there.
It's the red towel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And he knows when to call the timeouts. He knows when to let his players continue to play through and, you know, fight through a struggle or whatever else. Again, just a stand-up guy that done a lot for Powell County Athletics.
Yeah, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not, you know, Ken had critics, and sometimes those critics will be maybe shut up, I guess, a little afterwards. But it takes time to build that kind of a program, and Ken put the time in and the hard work and the effort. And I don't think people understood how much Ken worked and planned and prepared for games And volleyball was no different than basketball. He would watch tape and film and do it the same way. I mean, he was just a, I guess, a coaching junkie, if you will. But you see the guys at the college level and the pro level, they got assistants to kind of do all that work, get it prepared for you. That's kind of the amount of work he did by himself. So, I tell you, I don't envy a lot of people to go back and do what Ken did. So I wouldn't say that's going to happen anymore, because what he did was just probably over the top. Where it paid off was look at the times he was at regional tournaments in volleyball and basketball.
Tough shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Again, just even looking at the sheer record and the sheer number of years to be in that position, we've calculated it up in other sports. They only last 2 years, mm-hmm. and they're out over that same 20-year period.
Boys basketball is 2.5.
Yeah, right, average. On average. And to think that he's been here, the longevity. And, again, to get to the regional tournament consistently, whether it's girls basketball or volleyball, obviously once you get there, there's a lot of factors that come into play, and had several teams that could have won regional titles and things didn't necessarily go their way, again, either one of the sports or whatever else, but still continue to be there day in and day out to prepare his players, to prepare his team in order to win those district and regional titles. It breaks my heart in the sense that they didn't win that regional title, knowing the caliber of teams that you had. But, you know, we can talk about the New York Yankees in a sense. I mean, obviously the payroll, they're stacked in a sense, and it's like they don't necessarily win after all the money that they spend to win those division titles or World Series titles, and it's the same thing. Sometimes you have the talent, you have the teams, you just come up against somebody else or a bad call or something and changes everything.
You know, I can remember at least four teams that's come out in my mind, and I wasn't coaching all of them, but three of them I was helping Ken. I could have seen us winning three or four legitimate opportunities to win regional titles, and in most of those we made it to the final game or to the semifinal game before we got beat out. And you know, when you look back and you have that many legitimate shots, I tell you what, you've done a good job, and you had good talent coming up. And in basketball, it's a little bit different because those kids come around up as usually a sixth or seventh grader in the past. Now a seventh grade up come up. So if you can kind of get those kids ready for your program at that early age, they usually perform a little bit better when they get a little bit older. You know, I haven't had that luxury a lot in softball. We don't have many kids coming up. And it usually takes about a year to retransition back in. But the basketball kids, after they're up for those 2 years, it's a pretty good transition for them to be able to do that. Now, that'll continue with Robbie doing the basketball and again, Jasmine doing the volleyball. They've got a good feeder program at the middle school that'll run right in. And those numbers in volleyball in the past have been really good. Hopefully, we'll see those numbers continue. And, you know, I just, again, new coaches, you got to be patient. And we're not expecting perfection out of the new coaches. They just got to learn on their own. Get, like Ken said, get your feet wet, get out there and do the job, and I don't think everybody can be given to you, but you gotta learn under fire.
Yeah, and learn from your mistakes.
Yes.
Obviously, it took him years, in a sense, to get to where he was, where you have a consistent program, and if anything, both the programs, basketball mm-hmm. and volleyball, very consistent programs. And I would say, based on the success of the teams that he's coached, that's why the numbers are even what they are, the interest. And I meant to even ask him this in a sense. You know, when the University of Kentucky women's volleyball team wins the national title, does that have any effect? Does he see any effect as far as younger players, in a sense, like all of a sudden realizing, like, I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Or I can do that. And even last night, my daughter and I, we went to watch the women's national soccer team play. Rose Lavelle from Cincinnati, she ended up saying, speaking to the kids in a sense, when I was in the stands, when I was your age, I was like, I would love to do that and be on the national team. And basically she said, but you can. I was in your shoes. You can do what I'm doing. You just got to put in the work, the time, the effort, and all of that to get to that level.
That's the kicker, though. I'm not sure some of the kids today are willing to put up that much work. That's why a lot of times, and this is just my opinion, you'll see the numbers of players in basketball not be the same as you see in volleyball, because the work that you have to put in for basketball is that big. I mean, it's a lot of work that you have to put in for basketball, and not every kid wants to come out and put the work in.
Correct.
And sometimes you'll see your numbers go down for that, and I think that will kind of continue. It's boys, girls, doesn't matter. You see the numbers are less usually in that sport because, man, it's tough. It's just a grind every day, and you play, you practice for a month and a half almost before you get ready to play your first game, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to do that. So, you know, in COVID times, I know that would have drove Kent absolutely bonkers with all these delays because he loved practice. He was kind of crazy. I think we are on time with our break, so I guess we need to give you some what's going on the rest of the week, right? We got football Friday night. That game is confirmed now to be played versus Lewis County, be the first district game of the year. And I'm sure they're practicing today. This is probably their first day back at practice. So they'll have 2 days of practice before the game on Friday. And that's, I tell you, that's a tough road to hoe right there.
A home game, no less. I'm excited to watch them based on what we saw the last time out against Prestonsburg. Coach Mike Jones had changed up the offense a little bit, went a little bit more pass-oriented before switching back to some of the run. I'm curious to see if we kind of stick to that game plan, in a sense, going up against Lewis County again, a home game, first district matchup.
Well, it's kind of what Ken talked about. You know, Jasmine changing over to the new offensive set in volleyball. I think with the personnel that they have in the football, it may be a good change. And I think Mike's maybe seeing that after the first game. Only played two, right? Or three?
Three
games. So it's been a while since we played again. Again, limited practice once again this week, just like we were before the Prestonsburg game. So hopefully we'll get some of those bugs that we had ironed out these 2 days. Again, if they come out rusty, guys, you should expect it because there's going to be some rust on them from this layoff as well. Going forward, again, first district matchup, it's homecoming, it's an important game, and it's one of the not the last game of the season, but if we only have one more home game after this,
I think so. It's not many,
because
at this point we're winding down the season, and you know, unfortunately, in
I think there's one other district matchup that's at home and the rest are on the road, and then they round out the season with a non-district or a non-conference game. So looking forward, that's just going to be a tough run for the Pirates, but a couple wins. And again, and Friday is, to me, is a must-win game for Powell County to maybe try to continue in the playoffs. It's kind of weird to say at this point, but we know what some of the other teams have, and this really is kind of a must-win for Powell County to advance for the playoffs.
Yeah, and the next four games are against those district opponents. So it will be Lewis this weekend, again, a home game, October 1st, on the road at Fleming, October the 8th, Pendleton at Powell, and then on the 22nd, we travel to Mason, and then close out the season, regular season, on the 29th at Owen County.
Yeah, and that's, again, a tough stretch. Again, hopefully we'll be able to do some good there. I think volleyball had a game tonight at Knott County, and we don't know, that's tomorrow night, excuse me, at Knott County, and then Saturday they have three matches at the Dink Scott Invitational in Montgomery County, and then back again on the 1st, I think it's the 1st, they play again. But their next home match will be on the 5th of October, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So good luck to the volleyball Lady Pirates going forward. Soccer, do you have some updated soccer schedules?
Yes, boys soccer actually will be on September the 28th. See, where are we? 22nd, next Thursday.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, Powell at Estill.
Yeah.
Boys, girls, doubleheader in soccer. So the boys just have that game left on their schedule as far as soccer. And then the girls, they're actually away at Garrett County on the 25th. And then that Estill game on the 28th. And then senior night on September the 30th, where they host Bath County.
So we will likely, or somebody will probably be carrying the Estill Powell game next Tuesday. We'll kind of have to figure out the logistics of that. Again, if you get out to support your local programs, please do so. The golf regionals, I believe, are on Monday and Tuesday, respectively, for the boys and girls. I'm not sure which one plays first since I'm not coaching golf this year. But good luck to the Lady Pirates and Pirates golf teams as they prepare to play the regionals on Monday. The weather looks good Monday. The prep time doesn't look good. So right. What we got going for the next 3 days doesn't look good to get ready for the regional tournament, but that will take place, I believe, Monday and Tuesday of next week. So good luck to all of our Pirates, Lady Pirates, cheerleaders, all of our people out in the fall. Cross country, I believe, is probably in mid-season. So we got a lot of kids out doing some things. So good luck to all of our Pirate kids, and stay safe and stay out of quarantine if you can.
Yes.
So that's the goal. So we'll see you next week here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected